Thank you for joining us for our first quarter 2022 results call. As usual, our Chief Executive Officer, Christian Sewing, will speak first, followed by our Chief Financial Officer, James von Moltke. The presentation, as always, is available to download in the investor relations section of our website, db.com. Before we get started, let me just remind you that the presentation contains forward-looking statements which may not develop as we currently expect. We therefore ask you to take notice of the precautionary warning at the end of our materials. With that, let me hand over to Christian.
Thank you, Ioana. A warm welcome from me as well. It's a pleasure to be discussing our first quarter 2022 results with you today. Before we go through these, we are mindful that the war in Ukraine has been devastating for millions of people and continues to bring a high degree of uncertainty to the world economy, to the market environment, and to our clients. We have made our position clear. We condemn the Russian invasion of Ukraine in the strongest possible terms, and we support the German government and its allies in defending democracy and freedom. We are not taking on any new business in Russia, nor with entities incorporated in Russia. We have been clear that we are in the process of winding down our operations in line with our legal and regulatory obligations and are accompanying our clients in doing the same. We are committed to helping our clients navigate this period of upheaval, and we are supporting our people in Ukraine and their families. However, this of course has the potential to impact our full year results in our important measurement year. Nonetheless, we delivered the highest quarter of net profit since 2013, and we believe this puts us on a good trajectory to reach our 2022 goals. That shows through in our performance. We delivered group revenues of 7.3 billion euros, an increase of 1% year-on-year, even compared with a strong quarter in the prior year. We saw revenue growth across all four core businesses, driven by business momentum, market share gains, and investments that will support sustainable growth in 2022 and beyond. This quarter, we generated a reported 8.1% return on tangible equity, up on the first quarter of last year, despite a 28% increase in annual bank levies, which are recognized in the first quarter. If bank levies were apportioned evenly across the four quarters of the year, with a quarter of the annual charge booked in the first quarter, post-tax return on tangible equity would have been 11.2%. We also improved our efficiency. Post-tax profit was up 18% over a successful prior year quarter, driven by positive operating leverage. This brings our cost income ratio down to 73%, 4 percentage points lower compared to the prior year, or 66% if bank levies were apportioned evenly across all four quarters. We are mindful that the current operating environment presents many challenges, including on the cost front, and we will continue to focus on cost discipline. Finally, looking at our balance sheet, we are well equipped to navigate the current environment thanks to our high quality loan book and tight risk management. Our capital position remains strong despite the impacts of the war in Ukraine and business growth. This enabled us to continue our progress towards our goals for capital distribution to shareholders. Last week, we completed the execution of our share repurchase program of 300 million euros, and we have proposed a dividend of around 400 million euros at the upcoming AGM, delivering on our commitment to distribute 700 million euros in 2022. Now let me take you through the progress on strategic priorities in our core businesses on slide 2. In the Corporate Bank, business growth continued despite the more challenging market as we diligently executed on our strategy. We saw this reflected in loan growth, which, alongside interest rate tailwinds, contributed to an increase in net interest income. This, coupled with cost discipline, helped us deliver operating leverage of 18% this quarter. In the investment bank, strong client activity in FIC supported revenues with year-on-year growth across institutional and corporate clients. Advisory revenues were more than 80% higher year-on-year, partly offsetting lower revenues in equity and debt origination. The private bank delivered its best quarter since we launched the transformation, with pre-tax profit up by more than half year-on-year to €419 million. It also captured net new business of €13 billion across inflows into assets under management and loans. In addition, the private bank made significant progress on the German IT platform consolidation. Over the Easter weekend, we completed a successful migration of around 4 million Postbank saving clients and contracts onto the DB platform. Asset management delivered revenue growth of 7% year-on-year, driven by higher management fees despite the volatile market environment. At the same time, the business continued to invest in growth initiatives and platform transformation. The dynamics in all four core businesses provided a strong step-off point to deliver on our 2022 targets. Next, let me give you an update on Russia on slide 3. We believe the investments we made in future-proofing our business meant we were well prepared as we entered this period of uncertainty. This means we were ready to deal with not only the direct impacts of the war in Ukraine, where we reduced our net loan exposure to Russia to below €500 million by the end of this quarter, but also the second order ones, and our investments in controls are a testament to this. As a result, we executed diligently on sanctions implementation without any major issues and managed the financial aspects of these sanctions. As it stands, we operate under a heightened alert status and we are continuously adapting our controls to the evolving threat landscape. Despite the uncertainties of the current situation, we have not seen any major disruptions to our businesses, even with all the added safeguards we have put in place. While it is too early to quantify the potential long-term impacts of the war, we believe our conservative balance sheet and transformed business model will help us face the challenges ahead. Of course, we continue to be mindful of the broader environment and uncertainties that go well beyond the war, such as the supply chain issues that could further impact future economic growth. Turning now to our progress on sustainability on slide 4. We continue to make rapid progress in our sustainability activities. After finishing 2021 with cumulative ESG financing and investment volumes of €157 billion, excluding DWS, we are now at €177 billion and on track to achieve our €200 billion target by this year end. We saw good volume growth across all categories. Issuance volumes were at €71 billion in the first quarter, an increase of 13% compared to the fourth quarter. Financing volumes increased to €64 billion, up 12% sequentially. And assets under management increased to €41 billion, also up 12%. We are also pleased with the growth rates in all businesses, as you can see on the slide. As we announced in our investor deep dive, we plan to generate €500 billion cumulatively by the end of 2025. This implies an average rate of at least €100 billion in ESG financing and investments per year from 2023 to 2025. According to our models, this would translate into revenues of at least €1.5 billion in 2025, representing a compound annual growth rate of more than 20%. We also took an important step on our pathway to net zero by disclosing the carbon footprint of our corporate loan portfolio at the beginning of March. And we are on track to publish 2050 net zero targets for key carbon intensive portfolios, together with intermediate targets for 2030 at our second sustainability deep dive in October. We will also share further details on our net zero strategy at this event and how we partner with our clients in their decarbonization efforts. A key driver of higher profitability is our delivery of positive operating leverage, which I will now cover on slide 5. We delivered positive operating leverage at group level this quarter. Starting with revenues, group revenues increased by 1% year on year, and the core bank contributed by generating revenues of €7.3 billion, up 3% year on year. Excluding revenues in corporate and other and the capital release unit, the average annual increase of revenues in the four operating divisions was 7%. Revenues in the corporate bank were up 11% year on year, a second consecutive quarter of double-digit growth driven by continued deposit repricing and business growth. Investment bank revenues grew 7% year-on-year over a strong first quarter in 2021. A 15% increase in FIC revenues more than offset a 28% decline in origination and advisory. And the private bank continued strong business growth more than offset interest rate headwinds, and as a result, revenues were up 2% year-on-year. Across all these businesses, we delivered strong growth in client lending. Our total loan book is currently at €481 billion, up 9% year-on-year. Asset management revenues rose 7% year-on-year, driven by a 13% rise in management fees, which reflects consecutive quarters of inflows and assets under management growth during last year. Assets under management increased by €82 billion year on year to €902 billion. Moving now to costs, non-interest expenses were down 4% year on year, despite an increase in bank levies of 28%, or more than €150 million, which was offset by lower transformation charges and the cessation of prime finance costs. Adjusted costs, excluding bank levies, transformation charges, and prime finance, were also down 1% year-on-year, reflecting lower investment spending needs after the completion of some IT projects and delivery of efficiency gains in line with plan. Beyond these cost items, we faced higher than expected expenses, mainly in compensation costs, which James will detail later. Before I hand over to James, let me summarize the first quarter and outlook on slide 6. The first quarter presented a challenging environment. We supported clients and responded to their needs to help them navigate through difficult times, and we will continue to do so. Our priority is to advance with our strategic plans and to further improve our profitability and efficiency, while benefiting from strong risk management. Revenues in our stable businesses support this and demonstrate that we are on a clear path to meet our 2022 revenue guidance. And as always, we are absolutely focused on cost measures and we are executing on our plans. That said, we recognize that the path ahead of us is getting harder, especially with inflationary pressures we see in the current environment. But we remain committed to delivering positive operating leverage and tackling cost challenges while also capturing revenue opportunities, as we did in the first quarter. We are committed to our plan to return capital to shareholders, having already completed the 2022 share buyback program of 300 million euros. In short, in this quarter, we have delivered a strong step-up point towards our targets in this pivotal year. In particular, the 8% return on tangible equity target for 2022. With that, let me now hand over to James.
Thank you, Christian. Let me start with a summary of our financial performance for the quarter on slide seven. Total revenues for the group were 7.3 billion euros, up 1% versus the first quarter of 2021, despite the revenue decline of around 370 million euros in C&O and CRU. Non-interest expenses of 5.4 billion euros were down 4% year-on-year. This captures three main cost components. Firstly, bank levies came in at 730 million euros, up 28% year-on-year, and about 150 million euros higher than we originally expected due to a higher assessment of basis applied by the SRB and the unchanged conservative determination with regard to the use of irrevocable payment commitments. Secondly, we booked transformation charges of 38 million euros this quarter, less than a third of the level in the prior year quarter, and we have now recognized 98% of the total transformation-related effects anticipated through the end of 2022. This leaves adjusted costs excluding bank levies and transformation charges, which were down 3% year-on-year despite certain volume-related increases, or 5% excluding FX effects. I will detail these shortly. Our provision for credit losses was 292 million euros, or 24 basis points of average loans for the quarter. We generated a profit before tax of 1.7 billion euros and a net profit of 1.2 billion euros, an increase of 18% year-on-year. Tangible book value per share was 25.15 euros, up 0.42 on the quarter and 5% year-on-year. As Christian mentioned before, the return on tangible equity for the group was 8.1% for the quarter. The effective tax rate for the first quarter was 26%, which is broadly in line with the effective tax rate we now expect throughout 2022. We also anticipate that with continued profitability, particularly in the U.S., we may see additional positive deferred tax asset valuation adjustments in the fourth quarter that would reduce our effective tax rate in 2022. Of course, the adjustments and the respective sizing of these remain uncertain and are dependent on a number of different factors throughout the year. Let's now turn to the core bank's performance on slide eight. Core bank revenues were 7.3 billion euros for the quarter, up 3% on the prior year quarter. Non-interest expenses were down 1% for the quarter, and adjusted costs increased 1% year-on-year. We reported a profit before tax of 2 billion euros, flat on the prior year, as provision for credit losses normalized compared to the prior year quarter, where we saw releases across all stages. Our core bank post-tax return on tangible equity for the quarter was 10.7% above the full year target, and our cost income ratio came in at 69%. Let me provide some detail on the evolution of our net interest margin on slide nine. Looking back, the decline of net interest margin in the first half of 2020 was driven by the cut in U.S. rates. The margin has been broadly stable since then, above the level we initially anticipated, driven by increased balance sheet efficiency, deposit repricing, and TLTRO income that helped offset ongoing deposit margin pressure. Adjusting for TLTRO timing effects, NIM in the first quarter would have been at the prior year level. From here, we expect NIM to rise due to tailwinds from the rising interest rate environment. Let's now turn to costs on slide 10. First, let's have a look at cost developments since the fourth quarter. Adjusted costs, excluding transformation charges and bank levies, decreased by 332 million euros, 7% sequentially, or about 360 million euros excluding FX effects. Compared with the guidance we provided at the fourth quarter results, we are in line with or even ahead of our expectations with respect to the non-compensation categories, excluding FX. IT costs were 168 million euros lower, and 212 million euros of savings came from the remaining costs, both reflecting completion of projects and further efficiency saves. However, compensation and benefit costs were broadly flat against the elevated levels in the fourth quarter and higher compared to our previous guidance of expected savings of around 150 million euros. This is mainly due to three components. Firstly, we expensed 80 million euros more as a result of good business performance. An extra 50 million euros related to the variable compensation for performance in the first quarter, and a 30 million euro one-off impact for carried interest related to future performance fees in asset management alternative funds was also recorded. Secondly, we had unplanned benefit costs to the tune of 40 million euros, which we do not expect to repeat in the rest of the year. And finally, structural cost reduction efforts, largely in our private bank, were offset by costs from investments in strategic hires and control functions, of which 20 million euros were one-off hiring costs. We continue to execute on efficiency measures aimed at reducing compensation costs. However, we are seeing increasing pressures as we compete to retain and attract talent. If we look at the year-on-year cost developments on slide 11, adjusted costs decreased by 135 million euros, or 3%. Excluding FX effects, costs were down 5%, or 237 million euros. IT costs declined by 110 million euros, driven by completion of certain projects and capturing the expected delivery of efficiencies. Then, professional services and other non-compensation costs came down by 136 million euros due to the completion of IT, control, and remediation projects. Compensation expenses increased by 9 million euros compared to the prior year. Effects from the workforce reduction were offset by payroll inflation and by the impacts from variable compensation and selected strategic investments. Let's now turn to provision for credit losses on slide 12. Provision for credit losses for the first quarter was 24 basis points of average loans on an annualized basis, or 292 million euros, in line with guidance. A moderate sequential increase was entirely driven by the war in Ukraine. Elevated stage 1 and 2 provision of 178 million euros compared to net releases of 95 million euros in the prior year quarter, relating to downgrades of all Russian exposures and additional overlays to reflect macroeconomic uncertainties. Stage 3 provision of 114 million euros includes a few impairment events, predominantly on Russian names, in the corporate bank. This was offset by a small number of larger releases in the investment bank, while the private bank provision benefited from a model recalibration. Let me now update you on our direct exposure to the Russian Federation at the end of the first quarter, compared to our previously disclosed exposures at the year-end on slide 13. Gross loan exposure was cut by 5% to 1.3 billion euros and 21% to 468 million euros on a net basis. The reduction reflects active exposure management and repayments. Our contingent liabilities were cut by 35% to 1 billion euros, and exposures are largely mitigated by export credit agency coverage and contractual drawdown protection. Overall, we have low levels of direct market risk exposure to Russia after all major derivative counterparty positions were unwound. Let me now turn to capital on slide 14. Our Common Equity Tier 1 capital ratio decreased from 13.2% to 12.8% over the quarter, or 41 basis points. This reflects a decline of around 8 basis points from higher RWA driven by core bank business growth, partially offset by lower operational risk-weighted assets. ECB-mandated model adjustments related to small to medium-sized enterprise lending led to a decrease of 20 basis points. Strong organic capital generation during the quarter was offset by share repurchases, deductions for dividends, AT1 coupon payments, and equity compensation, adding 4 basis points net. We estimate the impact of the war in Ukraine on our CET1 ratio as 17 basis points due to higher risk weights on our Russia-related exposures and higher prudent valuation reserves due to the increased dispersion of market prices. CET1 capital now includes a capital deduction for common share dividends of 354 million euros for 2022, in addition to the roughly 400 million euros which were already put aside last year to pay the proposed 2021 dividend of 20 cents per share post the AGM this May. We remain committed to support business growth through continued earnings retention and to finish the year with a CET1 ratio of 13% or higher. However, what remains hard to predict at this point is the potential for further regulatory-driven RWA inflation in the remainder of the year. Our fully loaded leverage ratio was 4.6%, a decrease of 30 basis points over the quarter. Of the 30 basis points decrease, 16 basis points were driven by Tier 1 capital, which reduced as a result of the call in January of our 1.75 billion euros new style AT1. Our successful 750 million AT1 issuance, which settled in early April, adds a further 6 basis points to our leverage ratio on a pro forma basis. Leverage exposure, excluding FX effects, increased by 28 billion euros quarter on quarter, following continued growth in our core bank, including loan growth. Our pro forma fully loaded leverage ratio, including certain ECB cash balances, was 4.3%. With our reported leverage ratio of 4.6% at the end of the quarter, we have a buffer of 134 basis points over our leverage ratio requirement of 3.23%. With that, let's now turn to performance in our businesses, starting with the Corporate Bank on slide 16. Corporate Bank revenues in the first quarter were 1.5 billion euros, 11% higher year on year. Revenue growth was driven by the continued impact of our deposit repricing actions and business growth, particularly in corporate treasury services. Interest rates turned into tailwinds in the U.S., non-Euro EMEA, and Asia, more than offsetting remaining Euro headwinds. Corporate Bank grew loans to 125 billion euros, up by 3 billion euros compared to year-end 2021, and by 8 billion euros compared to the prior year quarter, mainly in corporate treasury services. Provision for credit losses increased year-on-year across all stages, primarily driven by impacts of the war in Ukraine. Non-interest expenses of 1 billion euros declined by 7% year-on-year due to non-compensation initiatives and lower non-operating costs. The resulting return on tangible equity stood at 7.2%. Adjusted for the pro rata bank levies, the return on tangible equity in the first quarter would be 9.2%. Corporate Bank profit before tax was 291 million euros in the quarter, up 25% year-on-year, despite higher credit loss provisions, evidencing improvements in our profitability and efficiency. I will now turn to revenues by business segment in the first quarter on slide 17. Corporate Treasury Services revenues of 917 million euros grew by 14% year-on-year, driven by strong business momentum, in particular in corporate cash management, higher loan volumes, deposit repricing, and the improving interest rate environment. Institutional Client Services revenues of 350 million euros rose by 11%, benefiting from episodic items and currency translation effects, while the underlying business remained stable. Business banking revenues of 194 million euros were up 1% year-on-year, as solid underlying business growth and benefits of deposit repricing were mostly offset by remaining interest rate headwinds. I'll now turn to the investment bank on slide 18. Revenues for the first quarter of 2022 were slightly higher year-on-year, both on a reported basis and excluding specific items. Strong performance in financing and macro trading businesses was partially offset by lower revenues in origination and advisory and credit trading. Non-interest expenses were higher, primarily due to increased bank levies and compensation expenses. Our loan balances increased year-on-year, primarily driven by higher loan originations across the financing businesses. We continue to maintain a well-diversified portfolio across regions and industries. Leverage exposure was higher, reflecting increased lending commitments and trading activities to support client flows. The year-on-year increase in risk-weighted assets predominantly reflects the impact of regulatory inflation, in addition to loan growth within the financing businesses. Provision for credit losses of 36 million euros, or 15 basis points of average loans, remained low. The year-on-year increase was driven by Stage 1 and 2 provisions versus releases in the prior year quarter. Turning to revenues by segment on slide 19. Revenues in FICC sales and trading increased by 15% in the first quarter when compared with the prior year. Strong performance within financing and across macro trading businesses was partially offset by lower revenues in credit trading. Financing revenues were significantly higher, driven by increased net interest income and higher capital markets activity, with solid performance across all businesses. Revenues across rates, foreign exchange, and emerging markets were significantly higher, driven by market activity and client flows, benefiting from effective and disciplined risk management. Credit trading revenues were significantly lower, with the business impacted by a challenging market environment. Revenues in origination advisory were also significantly lower versus the prior year, driven by an industry fee pool reduction of approximately 30%. Debt origination revenues were lower due to materially reduced leveraged debt capital markets revenues. Investment grade performance remained robust, with revenues slightly higher year over year. Equity origination revenues were significantly lower, driven by a material decline in the industry fee pool and reduced SPAC activity versus the prior year. Revenues in advisory were significantly higher, reflecting a high level of completed transactions against a solid pipeline. Turning to the private bank on slide 20. Revenues were 2.2 billion euros, up 2% year on year, or 3% if adjusted for specific items. Continued revenue growth, despite the uncertain environment towards the end of the quarter, more than offset headwinds from still low interest rates, although these headwinds have abated somewhat relative to the previous year. The decline of 6% in non-interest expenses year on year was in part attributable to releases of restructuring provisions of 44 million euros. Adjusted costs were down 3% year on year, despite higher bank levies, reflecting incremental savings from transformation initiatives, including workforce reductions, as well as continued strict cost discipline. The private bank reported a strong pre-tax profit of 419 million euros in the quarter, up 54% year on year, reflecting both continued cost savings and revenue growth. The cost income ratio improved to 77% compared to 83% in the first quarter of 2021. Post-tax return on tangible equity rose to 9%. Considering bank levies on a pro rata basis, pro forma post-tax return on equity would have been 11%, with a corresponding cost-income ratio of 73%. Assets under management declined by 6 billion euros to 547 billion euros in the quarter. A negative impact of 18 billion euros from market movements was largely offset by net inflows into assets under management of 10 billion euros and by exchange rate differences. Risk-weighted assets increased by 13%, predominantly due to regulatory changes in the prior year and a growing loan book. Provision for credit losses was 101 million euros, or 16 basis points of average loans, in line with the prior year, reflecting tight risk discipline and a high-quality loan book. Stage 3 provision also benefited from a model recalibration, as I mentioned earlier. Turning to revenues by segment on slide 21, revenues in the Private Bank Germany were up 1%. Higher fee income from investment and insurance products compensated still negative impacts from deposit margin compression, lower benefits from the TLTRO III program, as well as residual impacts from the BGH ruling. The Private Bank Germany attracted net inflows of 3 billion euros in investment products and net new client loans of 2 billion euros. In the International Private Bank, revenues excluding specific items increased by 6%. Private banking and wealth management revenues increased by 5%, or 8% if adjusted for Sal. Oppenheim workout activities. The growth was attributable to both investment products and loans, and was supported by relationship manager hiring in prior periods. Revenues also benefited from FX impacts. Personal banking revenues were stable, supported by growth in loans, partially offset by deposit margin compression. The International Private Bank attracted strong net inflows in assets under management of 6 billion euros in the quarter, driven by investment products across all regions. Net new client loans were 2 billion euros, mainly in Americas and EMEA, in part offset by deleveraging activities by clients in APAC. As you will have seen in their results, DWS delivered a strong quarterly performance compared to the prior year period, despite the recent market turbulence. To remind you, the asset management segment on slide 22 includes certain items that are not part of the DWS standalone financials. Revenues grew by 7% versus the prior year, primarily due to an increase in management fees of 74 million euros, mainly from higher average assets under management, which more than offset lower performance fees recognized in the quarter. Non-interest expenses increased by 16 million euros, or 4%, with adjusted costs up 5%. This reflects higher compensation costs, principally the variable compensation impact of carried interest related to future infrastructure performance fees, and higher asset servicing costs due to the increase in assets under management. Compared to the prior year, the divisional cost-income ratio improved further to 62%. Profit before tax of 206 million euros in the quarter increased by 12% over the same period last year, reflecting a stable margin and the strong increase in revenues. Assets under management of 902 billion have increased by 82 billion euros since the same quarter last year, which is mainly attributable to successive quarters of net inflows in 2021, as well as positive FX translation effects, as well as market performance, as we show on slide 44 in the appendix. Looking at the sequential performance, assets under management have declined by 25 billion euros in the quarter, reflecting the negative impact from market performance, partly mitigated by FX translation effects. Net outflows of 1 billion euros in the quarter were primarily due to outflows in low-margin cash and fixed income products in a challenging market environment. Excluding cash, net inflows were 6 billion euros in higher margin strategies. The business also attracted 1.1 billion euros of net inflows into ESG products during the quarter. Turning to Corporate and Other on slide 23, Corporate and Other reported a pre-tax loss of 428 million euros in the first quarter of 2022, compared with a pre-tax loss of 178 million euros in the prior year quarter. This was principally driven by a negative contribution of 183 million euros from valuation and timing differences, compared to a negative contribution of 4 million euros in the prior year quarter. The result for the quarter was principally from adverse movements in interest rate and credit spread curves, partially offset by the effects of funding basis and broader rate movements in light of the volatile market environment. As previously communicated, valuation and timing differences arise on positions that are economically hedged but do not meet the accounting requirements for hedge accounting. Funding and liquidity impacts were negative 127 million euros versus negative 36 million euros in the prior year quarter, and they include certain transitional costs relating to the bank's internal funds transfer pricing framework, as well as costs linked to legacy activities relating to the merger of DB Privat und Firmenkundenbank AG into Deutsche Bank AG, as we have previously disclosed. Expenses associated with shareholder activities, as defined in the OECD transfer pricing guidelines, not allocated to the business divisions, were 120 million euros, a small increase to the 112 million euros in the prior year period. We can now turn to the capital release unit on slide 24. For the first quarter of 2022, the capital release unit recorded a loss before tax of 339 million euros, narrowing the loss from the prior year by 70 million euros. Revenues for the quarter were a negative 5 million euros, as funding and risk management costs were partly offset by income from our loan portfolio and net de-risking gains. This compares to the positive 81 million euros in revenues we reported in the prior year quarter, with a reduction primarily from the conclusion of the Prime Finance cost recovery. Non-interest expenses declined by 32%, primarily driven by a 27% reduction in adjusted costs, reflecting lower internal service charges, lower bank levy allocations, and lower compensation costs. This quarter also marks a step down in costs following the conclusion of the Prime Finance transfer. As a result, the division reduced its loss before tax to 339 million euros, down by 17% from the prior year quarter. Year on year, CRU reduced leverage exposure by 46 billion euros and risk-weighted assets by 8 billion euros. Since the fourth quarter of 2021, the division has reduced leverage exposure by 4 billion euros through deleveraging and natural roll-offs, and reduced risk-weighted assets by 3 billion euros, including a 1 billion euro reduction in operational risk RWA. Looking through to the remainder of 2022, we are confident of achieving the target for adjusted costs of 800 million euros that we set out at the Investor Deep Dive. We will also aim to drive risk-weighted assets and leverage down further and expect to record a negative revenue number for the year. Turning finally to the group outlook for 2022 on slide 25. The current geopolitical outlook and macroeconomic environment bring a great deal of uncertainty to the financial markets and to our clients. However, strong revenue momentum in our core businesses continues to support our revenue guidance of 26 to 27 billion euros for 2022, and, in our view, our first quarter results build a strong foundation to achieve this. As Christian highlighted, we remain highly focused on cost discipline and continue to work towards our targets, but the current environment remains challenging and the visible cost pressures have intensified. We remain disciplined in managing our risks, and we believe that near-term risk is contained. Our capital remains resilient, and our organic capital generation was offset by distributions, while at the same time we absorb business growth, regulatory changes, and the impact of the war. We remain confident in our year-end guidance of around 13%, consistent with our target of greater than 12.5% for our CET1 ratio. As Christian mentioned, we finished our share buyback program, and the expected payment of dividends immediately after the approval at the AGM will complete the shareholder distributions of 700 million euros in 2022. We continue to work to our 2022 targets. With that, let me hand back to Ioana, and I look forward to your questions.